I'm glad that we can be in the moment. Amen. You know, so many things ahead of us, so many things behind us, so many things around us, so many things coming to us. Sometimes it's a skill set to put a stop, put a pause. Now, I remember years ago, I've always loved technology. Always loved technology. The only problem is anytime we try to bring it into the church, usually we get ahead of the game. One time we were given away, before iPhones were out, the Apple iPods. How many people remember those? We were giving those away with like a drawing thing, and people didn't know what to do with them. They're like, I don't want this. What do you mean you don't want this? I remember years ago, now if you have a DVR on your TV, and now the TVs have it where you can go through and watch a TV program, you get a phone call, or you need to step out of the room, or you need to get some food, you got that pause button, right? Don't you love that? Some people have no idea. Some of us have been around long enough, we remember the days of no pause. Everything was just continuous. And so it's like, and people would call you right at the good point of a movie, right? It's coming up to the climax and you're waiting to find out. You're just, all of a sudden the phone rings and you're like, really? And that was before the days of caller ID, so you felt guilty not to answer it. Now you're like, send a voicemail. Yeah. Or you could pause it. I remember years ago, I had found this technology, and this is before it was readily available, and it was a device you could add on to your cable or satellite box. See, I'm not going back to when I was growing up and there was only four channels. Some of you know what I'm talking about. And a certain time at night, all programming went off. They did show the American flag, you know what I mean, play some music, and then it went, and it was that way till the morning. You wake up at 3 a.m., now you can turn on some TV if you want to kind of put yourself back to sleep, watch a TV. Back in those days, you had nothing. And so, but years ago, and then we'll get into the word, years ago, I had come across this technology, and you would literally hook it to your Charter or your cable box, your satellite box, and it allowed you to pause live TV, which now everybody does. And I just thought it was the coolest thing. So I bought everybody for Christmas. I spent some major bucks because I was excited about technology, and I bought every one of my family members this cool technology for Christmas. And I was so excited, because I thought this is the best thing ever. You could literally pause live TV. We think of it no big deal now, but back then it was revolutionary. And I was so excited about it, and I remember giving it to them, and a few weeks later I asked them, hey, what do you think? And all of them, same answer, we didn't really know much about it, so we sent it back. Really? 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 You sent back some cool future technology that's not even mainstream, that most people don't even know, because you weren't familiar with it, and because of your inability to grasp what the potential is. Come on, somebody. Sometimes we tell God we'll take a pass because we don't understand what he's bringing to us, because he prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. And the God, the Bible says, who sees the end as he does the beginning, he is in all phases. He has a thing. I feel this in my spirit. This is not even in my notes. I feel that God's getting ready to bring stuff into your life and open your eye. If you're willing to say, God, open my eyes. Paul had to pray. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. Don't take my word for it. Challenge everything that's being said with the word of God. Paul had to pray in Ephesians 1 to the church. I pray that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding would be enlightened, which means open, that you might know. That means there is stuff that they did not know, yet they were saved. They did not know they were on their way to heaven, but there was things they did not know. They were in the church, but there was things they did not know. They were reading the word because they were reading what Paul was writing, but there was things they did not know. Are you realizing that some things that we still have yet to learn? And it's not a matter of just trying, if I stay in the boat I've always been, it'll someday show up. It doesn't work that way. We have to press in. We have to press in. We have to press in. We have to be hungry and thirsty for the things of God. For those who are hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. Not to those who are bored and wait around and hope that that drops in their lap one day. You can't get the things of God by waiting and just saying, well, if it's going to happen one day, it'll just happen. No, you got to be willing to push in a little and say, God, I know that there's things. I'm right with you. There's not sin in my life, and I know I'm going to heaven, but I also know that within the infinite of God, there is things that I still need to know that he has for me. And Paul says, I pray that God would give you the anointing, the spirit of wisdom and revelation, that the eyes of your understanding. I think that's a prayer we should all be praying. God, whatever is next for me, whatever's on the table you prepared for me, oh God, if you have it for me, I want it. It's not being greedy what other people have that you don't have. It's saying, God, I'm so hungry for you that if you have something for me, I want my eyes to be open. You can't call upon someone that you have not heard, and you can't hear unless someone tells you. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And I pray over you today that this will not be a normal Sunday. This will not be a normal moment. I pray that if you're hungry and thirsty and open, that the God of heaven, the God of earth, the God of more than enough, El Shaddai, Jesus, that he would send to you today, that he would anoint your eyes with the spirit, the anointing of wisdom and revelation, that you would know something today that you've never known before. Show us, Father, what belongs to us that you prepared for us that we have yet to see. Let's not be quick to move from things that we are not familiar with. Let's not be quick to move and do a pass on things that we're not too sure about. Well, I've never done that before. I've never watched TV like that. I don't know that from technology. Now everybody's familiar with it. But some of us wait for it to become mainstream before we make it part of our life. And based on the circle you're in, it might not ever be mainstream. Come on, somebody. We have to, so you say, well, then maybe it's not for me. Maybe you're the pioneer in your circle to make a difference. Don't let the devil tell you that your family and everybody you know is broke, so you got to stay broke. Maybe you're the pioneer that gets the revelation that he is Jehovah Jireh, that he is El Shaddai. Am I talking to somebody today? It might not make sense to your perspective in the moment. That's why you got to say, God, if this is you, I'm going to study your word. Open my eyes, Lord Jesus. Open my understanding. Because if you're my Jehovah Jireh, if you're my El Shaddai, I want to know and see it. I just don't want to get to heaven and find out I've missed opportunities to not only receive, but to be a blessing to those you've called me to bless. Are you listening to me? Money is not about you being greedy, not being covetous. That's not what the plan of God. Money is a tool not only to take care of your needs and for you to do the destiny of God, but for you to be an impactor, a blessing, to go around and say, listen, God, let the Holy Spirit place on your heart who to impact and to make an influence into, and say, listen, I like what God's doing, and God's moved upon my heart to bless you so you can keep doing what God's called you to do. Are you listening to me? Say, thank you, Jesus, that you're my provider. It might be healing. It might be protection. It might be peace. I don't know what God has for you in the moment. I'm not your Jesus. And I'm happy about that. If I'm your Jesus, I got to know everything and figure everything out. No, it's not my job to be your Jesus. It's my job. I feel like I'm more like John the Baptist. I just got to connect you to Jesus. I just got to point you to Jesus. I just got to say, there he is. Let's follow him. And that's up to you to follow his word or not. That's not up to me. I'm not the type of pastor who's going to call you and say, did you do it? Did you do it? No, I love to hear your testimonies. Just like the dear woman who came up to me before service today and said, Pastor, that testimony about the lady with the eye ducts and that she had no tear ability. She could not have tears. And yet during one of the services, she noticed God healed her. She felt the presence of God and tears started coming down. She goes, that was me. I just wanted you to put up my face with that story. I said, thank you. Thank you. Amen. Because we are in a season of miracles. Now, that might not make sense to everybody, and that's okay. Listen, I'm not the type of pastor to force everybody to think the way I think. That's not the goal. The goal is to present the word of God and encourage you. Challenge it with the word of God, and if it doesn't make sense, put it on the back burner and let God deal with you over time. Amen? But don't stop other people from eating from that table of healing. A testimony we just got in this week during that one service that we talked about, the one woman who was healed and began to have her kidney started functioning again. During that service, if you were here, you remember that. If you weren't, you missed it. I don't know. I can't duplicate this stuff. I'm not in control of this. We just let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do. Amen. And during that service, we just did a general prayer. It said, if you had pain or sickness in your body, just lay your hands on it. And we're believing God will touch you right where you're at without anybody else touching you. Because Jesus healed that way. I'm a firm believer. He would heal the whole, I mean, the city would come out and he'd heal them all. Now, some he prayed for this by laying hands on them. I believe that. Mark 16 is very specific that we're supposed to do that. But I also believe that that there was so much anointing on the life of Jesus, that him walking into the room, come on somebody, him showing up. People, demons were screaming, we know who you are. If you come before the time to torment us. They recognize that authority anointing. I mean, to the point that the Bible says that even in his own hometown, he could do no mighty works except lay his hands on a few sick folk and heal them. So what we would consider a great day in the ministry was a rough day for Jesus. Come on, somebody. We'd go back, man, we had a great service. We laid hands on some people and they got healed. Praise God, and we jump and we shout. But in Jesus' ministry, that was a rough day. That he had to lay his hands on a few people and get them healed. Because in the ministry of Jesus, I'm just a firm believer. I believe that as we get closer to the last days, the anointing of God is going to get stronger and stronger. Now, that might not be your thing, and you might not understand it. Put it on your back burner and let God show you. Because at every level for all of us, including me, we need to continue to have our understanding, the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, open, so that we can see what God is doing. One of the things, I don't want to get to heaven and find out that God, I thought it was going well, but I hit a 4 out of 100. Come on, somebody. I thought I was doing better than my neighbors. You might have been doing better than your neighbors, but if you're only hitting 4 out of 100 what God had in your potential, you're not doing as good as you think you are. But I'm not talking to those people. I'm talking to a group of people that when you get to heaven, you're going to hear from your Heavenly Father, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Because it is not based on even a full-time minister. It's the obedience of God in your life. Can I get an amen? Can I get a better amen? And so, dear lady, we got a testimony this week. And she said during that service, she had already been diagnosed with a mass in her breast. And she said she felt the power of God touch her, and she went back to the doctor. They said, well, we still want to do a biopsy and just to make sure. And she thought, oh, well, okay. And she went through the process, and it came back totally benign and clean. Come on, somebody. Say, God is good. Again, you're like, I don't know if I agree with that. Put it on the back burner, but don't stop other people from eating from God's table. Some people like steak. Some people like chicken. Some people like vegetables. I've got to pray for those people. Some people. But he prepares a table for us in the midst of our enemies. Not just when you get to heaven, but here on earth. Here on earth. Amen. Amen. Let's begin. That was introduction. I don't know where that came from. That must be the Holy Ghost. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for this moment. Just as you placed in our heart, I pray that the anointing of wisdom and revelation would set upon this house, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Speak to our hearts. Guide us by your truth and your word. We give you praise. And everyone shouted. Amen. If you turn to your Bibles, if you have one, if not, look at your phone or your iPad or on the screen. But I encourage you to take notes, write things down, circle it right in your Bible. Now, the cool thing about some of the social stuff is when you post it, have you had this happen? When you post a comment or post a event, a year later, it comes back to remind you. Have you ever had someone show you a picture or it comes back to remind you and you look at that and say, I forgot all about that. You know why? Because you're human. Matthew 13, that's a tactic of the enemy. Because the forgotten word will never produce the permanent change. Psalms 23, verse 1, so I encourage you to write things down. The Lord is my shepherd. Have you heard this verse before? The Amplified Translation, the Lord is my shepherd to feed, guide, and to shield me. I shall not want. He lets me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters and quiet waters. He refreshes. Say, he refreshes. He refreshes. Say, he refreshes. He refreshes and restores my soul or my life. God is a God of refreshing. Even in the process of believing. Paul put it this way, I pray that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even in the process of believing, even in the process of the waiting, even in that waiting period, because through faith and patience we inherit the promises of God, Hebrews 6:12. It can, life has a way of throwing things at you. The devil has a way of throwing things at you. I get that out of the Word of God because the Bible tells us in the armor of God to take up the shield of faith where you can quench the fiery darts of the wicked. That means the devil tries to throw darts that have fire and he's throwing them at you, but the shield of faith will stop it and put it out. But some of us, if you live long enough, you'll have seasons where you experience the darts thrown at you and you're like, man, this faith thing is getting heavy. It's full of darts, oh God. And that's a part of it because the faith will quench the fiery darts. But faith will also keep you in rest, Hebrews 4. Yes. That there is a process of being refreshed by the presence of God, even when it doesn't make sense. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God that exceeds your understanding will keep and guard your heart and your mind and soul. So that tells me that we can have peace even in the storms around us. And so it's learning how to access the refreshing from the presence of God. Access that refreshing. Jesus, you are my shepherd. And as my shepherd, you have given me the opportunity to experience refreshing, even when the world around me seems like it's in turmoil. Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when it's realized, it is a tree of life, which means that when you're waiting in the natural, it's not a fun time. But when things are going great, it's easy to be happy. But there is a joy that becomes your strength that can exceed the surrounding elements, and you can begin to draw from that. Jesus said in Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 9, that he's the doorway, and anybody who comes through him will find salvation and go in and out and find pasture, which means what they need for today for his life that he has for you. See, God wants me refreshed. Some of we're not careful, we'll be dragging our armor, dragging our shield, dragging our sword, exhausted by the journeys of life. And if that's you today, I want to encourage you, even in the journey, you can be refreshed. If the joy of the Lord is only a sense of happiness when everything goes well, how little power does God have? Yeah. Power is demonstrated when it seems against all odds. You have what God says you have. Yes. You can have peace when everybody's talking about you, trying to take you down. Yeah. You can have joy when you look into the abyss and see no light but him. Yeah. Last week, in quick review, we talked about two or three of the things. To experience God's refreshing, we need God's presence. Acts chapter 3, verse 20 says, then times of refreshment will come from the presence of the Lord, and he will again send you Jesus, your appointed Messiah. Then times of refreshment or refreshing will come where? From the presence of God. Now, sometimes sin gets in the way and tries to keep us out of God's presence. Most people think sin is just the thing of hell or not hell, and that's a part of it. You're living in sin, you're not going to go to heaven, and that's between you and Jesus. We love everybody. God loves the world, but in our mindset, we're not going to control you or force you because God doesn't. He'll still love you, but you have to put yourself behind the wheel. Jesus doesn't want the wheel. He wants you behind the wheel. And you making decisions, Lord, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to live for you. It's not a matter of someone's going to make sure I make it. They can't. God has no grandchildren. He only has children. And so one of the tactics of sin is not only to keep you out of heaven, but to keep heaven from you in this journey of life. It doesn't mean that you won't have challenges. Jesus said in this world, you'll deal with trials and tribulation, but be of good cheer. So that tells me, and he says, I have overcome. That tells me that in the challenges of life, we have the opportunity to be of good cheer. If you believe that, give the Lord a loud amen. So verse 19 of that says, now repent of your sins and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped away. Then the times of refreshing come from the presence of God. We need the presence of God. Yes. We need the anointing. More than exciting distraction of other things that the world can try to dangle in front of us, we need the presence of God in our life. If that means getting in your prayer closet and praying, Jude verse 20. If that means getting alone and worshiping, if that means getting in the house of God and spending time worshiping God together, we need the presence of God. Say, I need the presence of God. I need the presence of God. There's a song written many years ago, said, this is the air I breathe. Your physical body breathes oxygen, but I'm telling you, your spirit person breathes the anointing, the presence of God. You're like, man, the world's been beating me up. I'm feeling so down. Well, let's get in the presence of God. Yes. It's better than, have you ever been in a hot summer day and you jump into a cold pool and you come out and say, man, I feel so much better. I feel refreshed. Better than a cold pool, God's presence will change. Amen? Yes. Number two in quick review. Not only the presence of God, we need God's promises, which is the word of God. Psalms 19 verse 7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The law, the word of God is perfect. That means complete. Yes. Nothing missing, lacking, and broken. Refreshing the soul. Spend time in the word of God. Psalms 119 verse 165 says, those who love your law have great peace and nothing causes them to stumble. In my own personal life, if I'm starting to feel myself drag a little bit, and listen, you can be saved serving God in the ministry and have seasons where you got to shake yourself. Yeah. David said, restore unto me, O God, the joy. The Hebrew word for joy there is the sassoon, the joy of your salvation. Why? Because in life, it's just not, ooh, I prayed a prayer when I got saved and now I can forget about Jesus and do my own thing. No, you got to keep coming back. Right. Into the presence of God. You got to allow the presence of God and the word of God. You got to keep, it's like eating a great meal on Sunday and not eating the rest of the week. You know, you're going to get an appetite. Your stomach's going to growl. You're going to get hungry. You might be thinking, man, I don't feel the energy like I used to. What was wrong with that meal that I ate? I ate that 5 days ago. I should have energy still. No, that meal lasted for a while. But while we're on this side of eternity, are you listening to me? There's a thing that they used to say back in the day when I was a kid. You might get filled today, but you leak. You got holes. That means when you get out in the world, you mean the world's tugging on you. It's pulling on you, not just with sin, but to draw out the presence of God, the anointing of God. And you just can't say, oh, I prayed 2 months ago. That should be good enough. No, you got to get back in the word and the presence of God. That's why it's so important to you. You're like, well, Pastor, I don't want to read the Bible every day. That sounds a little fanatical. I don't want to be weird. Let me tell you, Jesus doesn't make anybody weird. People that are in the church that are weird were weird before they met Jesus. I'm just telling you. And you know, and somehow in the church world, not here. I'm not speaking that as a confession, but globally, there's a lot of weird people in the church world. I don't know if it's because we tend to be accepting and loving to everybody and we just welcome people in. And it is what it is. But Jesus doesn't make people weird. Jesus makes your life better. We go from glory to glory. Into his image. Romans 8:29 tells us that he brings us into his nature and character. And the nature of Jesus is a good thing. The character of Jesus is a good thing. He would say stuff to his disciples, my peace I leave with you. Why? Because he was peace. He said, hey, you're overwhelmed? Come to me. My burden and yoke, they're easy and they're light. My burden, my yoke, they're easy and light. Do you know what religion does? I use these words, and so if you're new and you're a guest, I mean, don't jump on it too quick. I define religion as man's rules to get to God. I refer to religion the way Jesus saw the Sadducees and the Pharisees. A lot of fake it till you make it, a lot of look good but not be good, a lot of controlling people and see who could be in the most powerful position so that they can get adoration from everybody else. A lot of, oh, I look spiritual, but on the inside, dead men's bones. Some of us have come out of churches that it was like that. The preacher can do a lot of great preaching, but when you got outside of the pulpit, he was not living like the, even a Christian that just got saved. Come on, somebody. And it doesn't mean people are perfect. No one's perfect. And if you've sinned, 1 John 1:9, repent. Amen. For he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Yeah. Some people walk around with the weight and burden that other people have put on them. Yep. Living with a burden, the label. And that might happen to you. And that might be because of your own mistakes. But you know what? God never called you to take your sins to other people. Right. He called you to take your sins to him. Right. And he is faithful and just to forgive you, and notice this, and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yes. And so when you are righteous, that means that you've been justified just as if you've never sinned. Right. This is not a free pass to live any way you want. Romans 6, shall we use our freedom to go back and live in sin? He said, God forbid. But what you have to understand within the grace and mercy and the goodness of God, when you truly repent and you take it to him, man will hold it over you to control you. God frees you.
Amen.
Did you hear me? God frees you.
Yes.
That's why the Bible says that the blood of Jesus purges your evil conscience of dead works so you can serve the living God. Now that sounds strange in the King James translation, but what that actually means is that the blood of Jesus, here's one of the benefits of the blood of Jesus to not only forgive you, but he cuts the very remembrance of your past failures and sins. Why? So that you're not living with hanging over your head your past failures and sins, but you are living with the position and perspective of righteousness. Why? So that you can serve the living God. So when the devil says you can't pray, you can't preach, you can't help, you can't give, you can't serve, why do you think God will bless you? Why do you think God will answer that prayers? Don't you know who you were? You can say, that's not who I am anymore. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Amen. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life I live by faith in the Son of God. Are you listening? I'm speaking to somebody right now. I don't know who you are, and I know that there's more than one. It's stirring in my spirit. I, in the name of Jesus, I curse the labels that have been placed on your life, trying to hold you back, trying to condemn you. Romans 8:1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus. And I speak a greater word over your life today. I speak a bigger word over your life. I speak a word that comes from heaven. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. You are forgiven. If you've repented, you're forgiven. You're not under the label of condemnation of sin. There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. If you believe that, take the next 30 seconds and give them a shout. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Religion will make you feel guilty and condemned all the days of your life. That's man trying to control you and hold you back from destiny. But Jesus didn't come to hold people back from their destiny based on their sin. For he looked at the woman who was caught in adultery and said, woman, where are your accusers? And she said, Lord, they're gone. He said, neither I accuse you anymore. Be free. Don't sin anymore. Now go do destiny. For the Bible tells us that it's the devil. It is the devil who's the accuser of the brethren. It is not the work of the Spirit of God. It is not the work of the Spirit of God. It is not the work of the Spirit of God to hold over your head your past sins. He frees you from that. Be free today in the mighty name of Jesus. Be free today, I say, in the mighty name of Jesus. Be free today in the mighty name of Jesus. Whom the Son has set free, I decree that you're breathing differently right now. And as you walk out of this place, you're like, wow, God has done a great thing for me today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are not second rate. I release you to destiny. I release you to the forgiveness of God. I release you into the peace of God. I release you into the goodness of God. Pastor, I don't hear people talk like that. Using the church, they're condemning. I know they are, but that's not the word of God. It doesn't mean you can do anything you want and get by. No, sin will bring you back into bondage. But whom the Son, when you have repented, you are free. Say, I'm free. Which brings us to our third point. We need God's
word, or we need God's presence. We need God's purpose. Before I jump into that, the Lord dropped the idea on my heart. Do you remember when Jesus was going to raise the dead, Lazarus, his friend? And they, Martha and Mary, his sisters, and they were all good friends and supporters of Jesus' ministry. So when Lazarus gets sick, Jesus still didn't show up. But he shows up at a point where they have already buried him. So in the process of burial, they've cleaned him up, they've put oil on him, they've wrapped him up, they found a tomb, they put him in the tomb. Jesus knows what's going on by the Spirit of God because the disciples are like, we need to go. And he goes, no, he's resting. Oh, that means it's good that he's recovering. We'll let him sleep. He goes, no, you don't understand. He's dead. But I'm coming. They see him as dead, but I'm coming. From all senses and all experiences and all everything that they can, they know from their natural understanding, he's dead, but I'm coming. Yeah. From everything they understand of life and death, it's over, but I'm coming. From everything they judge by their calendar, it's too late, but I'm coming. Yeah. I'm speaking to somebody. Yeah. By everything you've judged in the natural, by everything that you can measure, by everything you've experienced, by everything you can mark as what you understand and the way you perceive, I'm telling you, he's still coming.
Amen.
Are you listening to me today?
Yeah.
Don't miss what God wants to do because it's different than what you've ever seen before.
Come on.
Don't miss what God wants to do because it doesn't make sense because you've never heard anybody. As long as it's lined up with the Word of God, we keep everything in alignment with the Word of God. Don't get weird. Weird comes out of you doing stuff outside of the boundaries of the truth of the Word of God. But I'm telling you, just many times there's things, have you ever had it, you read the Bible and someone says it, you're like, wow, it really is in there. Sometimes we can be around the Bible so long that we just think that we're experts of it. There's so much in there that we're all learning and growing. Say, I'm learning. Say, I don't outgrow growth. Come on, say, I'm not going to outgrow growth. That means you never get so where you know so much you don't think you need to learn anymore.
Yeah.
We're going to be a church that we are hungry and thirsty for the things of God.
Amen.
And there's times in our life. And so Jesus said, listen, I'm going to show up. They don't understand it. It doesn't match anything I've done. I love that. That's one of many, 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 many things that I love about the ministry of Jesus. He wasn't caught up with the method of past successes. I mean, if it was you and I, man, the first person we spat and made mud and put on someone's eye and they could see, we would have wrote a book and started a whole new ministry. Come on. We'd be like, disciples, bring a lot of water because I know I'm going to be drying because I'm going to be spitting today. All the blind people says, you don't have to tell me, I'm just listening. There he is over there. Oh, I think I'm getting closer. Am I next? Oh, I guess I was. We would have kept doing what we had already done that worked well. Man, I'm telling you, sometimes it's one of the hardest things to do is let go of past successes to stay sensitive to what God's doing in the present moment. That's going to be another message for another time. So Jesus shows up, and Martha, out of the two, you know what I mean? If you ever do a study on that, Martha's the go-getter, she's the worker, Mary's the worshiper. But in the time of crisis, Martha's like, I'm going to figure this out. The Lord's coming, I'm going to go meet him. And she wasn't, you know you're close to God when you can just be honest with God. Some of us, we put on such spiritual, liturgical, proper, whatever. Thank you. Thank you, Mother Love. Thank you for participating in the message today. Your dear woman. How long you and your husband pastored? For 18 years, full-time pastors. And so she went to Jesus and found him and said, Lord, if you'd been here, see, I like adding, read it like it's a fairy tale story. I like read it. You got to put some humanity in this. Lord, if you'd been here, I wouldn't have to be going through this, Greg Bruce translation. My brother wouldn't have died. See, some of us, we think we're being spiritual by being proper. That's not, no. When you're close to somebody, you don't have to be proper with them. You just be real with them. I've always noticed that in the world of business, that if you, how can I say this? When you listen to people on the phone, you might not know who they're talking to, but when they're very professional, if they're trained well, they're talking business. But all of a sudden, if they get casual and, hey, how you doing? Yeah, they're not doing business anymore. They're talking to friendship. We say we're close to God, but yet we get real stiff with God. Sometimes it's okay to get in your prayer closet and say, Jesus, I want to know what's going on. I don't understand this. Well, he might get mad. He's not going to get mad at that. You're being authentic. You're being real. And so she went and said, Lord, if you would have been here before, if you would have done it the way I've seen you do it, if you would have worked this thing out the way I know you can work this out, if you would have walked out the steps that I expected you to walk, I would not be dealing with what I'm dealing with today. My brother would be alive. And Jesus didn't rebuke her. Jesus didn't correct her. He just said, relax a little bit. Your brother's going to rise again. And she said, Lord, I know he's going to rise again. How, isn't it funny how people will debate with Jesus? Lord, I know he's going to rise again in the last day at the resurrection. I already know that Jesus. See, I got my hand on a hip for a purpose. I already know that Jesus. She wasn't trying to go back and forth in a spiritual religious debate. I know that, but that's then. I want to know now. I want to know what's going on now. Because if you were doing it the way I would have done it, I wouldn't have been here now. But she didn't know, because in her timeline, it was over. But she did not know, she did not understand that he was getting ready to introduce a side of him that she had never seen. For he said, listen, you don't understand. I'm not talking about then. I'm not talking, he is the Alpha and the Omega. Are you listening to me? He is the first and the last. He is the author and the finisher. But in the author and finisher of your faith, Hebrews 2. In the author and finisher of your faith, Hebrews 11, verse 2. In the author and finisher of your faith, what you have to understand is that he works in the context of now. And I know you understand timeline, future, and you haven't seen what I'm about to show you. But I'm about to show you if you can listen to what I'm saying. Because your eyes are opened by the Spirit, the anointing of wisdom and revelation as the word goes forth. And if you listen to what I'm saying, if you hear the word, your eyes will be open. And she said, all right, hit me with it. It's okay to tell Jesus, hit me with it, Lord. And he said, listen, it's not about the calendar. This is Greg Bruce translation. I'm kind of moving around here a little bit, but it all makes sense when it lines up. It's not about the calendar that you have been monitoring. It's not about the steps of your memory that you can recall. I want you to get your eyes off where you've been, and I want you to get your eyes off where you're going, and I want you to begin to focus on something different. What do you want me to look at, Jesus, if I can't use my past, good or bad, as an indicator, and I can't use the expectation of tomorrow as my indicator? What do you want me to look at? And he said, I want you to look at me, because I am the resurrection. I am the life. Are you listening to me? He is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. He is the eternal Word. God sent his Word and healed them. When he sent them, it was the assignment of heaven to the earth. It will not return void. It will accomplish that to which he has pleased it. Are you listening? It'll accomplish, prosper in the thing to where he sent them. He said, listen to me. Look at at me. Look at me. Get your eyes off the past. Get your eyes off the future. Get to the Word. Line your focus on. Look not to the things you see in the natural that's around you, but the things you don't see, the Bible says. For the things you don't see are eternal, and the things you do see are temporal, natural. You might see them in the moment, but in the moment, things are going to change. Why? Because He's here. He's here. Say, He's here. He's, listen, Lazarus is dead. You don't understand this, disciples, but I'm coming. I'm showing up. And when I show up, I'm not going to do what I've done before. I'm going to do a new thing. I speak a new thing in somebody's spirit right now. I speak a new thing in someone's spirit right now. It's going to manifest in the work of your hands. It's going to manifest in your business dealings. It's going to manifest in your body. It's going to manifest in your finances. It's going to manifest in your marriage. Are you listening to me? That's where the Spirit of God's been directing us through this whole thing, regardless of my notes. He's getting ready to do a new thing. He's getting ready to do a new thing. The Bible says, I'm about to do a new thing, and I'm going to show you if you're hungry. Say, I'm ready for my new thing from heaven. Hallelujah! I want my new thing, Jesus. I don't want to just live based on my expectation of the calendar in the front or my experiences in the calendar in back. Look to me. I am the resurrection. Hallelujah. I am. Moses said, who shall I say sent me? Tell him, I am that I am. He is the all-sufficient God. There is none beside Him. He is the King of kings and He's the Lord of lords. He created all things, and without Him nothing was made that was made. He upholds all things by the power of His word. Are you listening? He is the great I am. Hallelujah! I'm going to praise Him when I feel it. I'm going to praise Him when I don't feel it. I'm going to praise Him when the resurrection happened. But I'm going to praise Him when I see a tomb. I'm going to praise Him on the good days. And I'm going to praise Him on what appears to be on the bad days. Because at the end of the day, He is above all things. He has a name above all names. And at that name, every knee must bow.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. He's doing a new thing in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo! You may be seated. Sometimes I wonder why I even send notes to the media team. They're probably back there going, I don't know what he's doing. And he told Martha, the worker, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. Do you believe? Yes, Lord, this sounds pretty exciting. I do believe. Well, let's go then. Let's go where you've laid them. Let's go where your faith has stopped. Let's go to the place you thought it was over. Let's go to the place that you thought it was final. Let's go where you thought it was impossible. Take me to the mark of the place of your life where you said God cannot do anything. Take me to a place that you said I'm not big enough for this. Jesus said, take me to the mark of the point of your life that you think nothing can change here. If you're willing to believe, I can walk into this space and I'm going to change it for you. For some of us, it's not someone who died and is in a tomb. For some of us, it might be a broken marriage you think will never recover. For some, it might be a broken body you think will never heal or walk again. For some of us, it might be a financial devastation that you don't think you can dig yourself out of. For some, it might be a peace of mind that's left and you feel torment and you don't think you can ever be back to where you were. But I decree over your life, let's take the word, let's take Jesus back to the place where we have buried our life and said there's no future here. Let's leave it and cry. And he said, take me to the place. And she takes him to the place that he says, remove the stone. Remove the stone. And Martha speaks up. Mary's a worshiper. But Martha's a worker. And she speaks up. You have to wonder, doesn't she think that Jesus knew how long he'd been dead? Yeah. Doesn't she think that he would know what happens to a decaying body after so many days? But no, let's just tell him anyway. But Lord, I always love it when people get so super spiritual in the Bible, because I know none of us do this anymore, get so super spiritual that we have to correct God on the direction he's sending us. But Lord, he's been there for 4 days, just in case you didn't know. And by now he's decaying and he's got an odor. What was she saying? It's too late. What did Jesus say? He didn't debate her. He didn't agree with her. He took her back to the place of the conversation and said, Martha, please challenge this. Look it up in your own time. He said, Martha, did I not say I'm the resurrection and life? Did you not say that you believe? Oh, I believe, Lord. See, we think believing means I'm just going to mentally agree. Believing means I not only agree, but I'm going to obey and act upon it.
Right.
I don't know where we're going to get with that. We're just going to put that series away. We're just not going to worry about that. She said, okay. And she gave the word. Remove the stone. And the Bible says that Jesus cried out. First he prayed. Let me back up. He prayed. Now, this is my perspective. You can disagree with this. I believe that before they removed the stone, the Lazarus was already resurrected. You say, where do you get that? Because in Jesus' prayer, which he prays in front of them out loud, so they understand, he prays, Lord, I thank you that you have already heard my prayer. And that, that I'm praying so that these people understand what's going on. So if I'm right, and I believe I am, and if you disagree with me, you pray for me and I'll pray for you. We'll all walk in love and we'll just keep moving forward. But if that's the case, that means he's trying to get them to receive what was already, oh my God.
Yes, indeed.
Well, why didn't Jesus just say he's alive and remove the stone and see it? Because you have to receive by faith. And if you see it in the natural, you don't need to believe by faith because you can automatically see it. The Bible says, why do you have hope for something when you already see it? A lot of Christians, we want to live that life of God, I'll believe, but you got to show me first and then I'll believe. And the Bible says, no, you have to trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Are you listening to me? That means that God, it doesn't make sense to the natural understanding, but I know what you've spoken to my heart, so I'm going to step out and believe. And you have to understand that with Jesus, it's already done. It's complete in him. So by theory of logic, then, that means that Lazarus was on the inside waiting for them to believe and obey. How many miracles do we have on the other side of our obedience? That God's saying, listen, if you believe me and obey me, I'm going to do this. Well, God, I don't know. I need an emotional, I need a little goosebump here, God. God said, no, it don't work that way. And what he's not going to tell you that it's already completed in him. Everything's completed. It's waiting for you to remove the stone by your obedience so that you can see what he has already done for you in the name of Jesus. That job is already there for you in the name of Jesus. I'm speaking to somebody who's like, I just can't find a job. I'm telling you, the job is already there and God's already told you what to do, but you've been debating, you thought with your own logic and yourself, and they are sitting at that company saying, why can't we find somebody to fill this job? God's holding it for you, but you won't know it until you obey him. We want certainty before we step in faith. In closing, so they remove the stone and he cries out, Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says that he came out and Jesus said, remove the grave clothes. One translation, loose him and let him go. Now, I've always wondered about this. Why would Jesus ask them to remove the grave clothes? And the Lord placed on my heart, now you can disagree, but this is what's on my heart. It doesn't matter if it was the grave clothes or the stone? Why did he ask him to remove the stone? Because at the resurrection, an angel knocked it around and sat on it. But it was in the stone and in the grave clothes that they bound him. They didn't think they were binding him. They were just thinking they were doing the right thing for him with the understanding that it's over. So the people around him that loved him, and not everybody who is around you that loves you is always going to say they're going to do the right thing. In their mind, he's dead. So what do? We wrap him up in grave clothes. Lazarus didn't wrap himself up in grave clothes. Jesus didn't wrap him in grave clothes. They wrapped him up in grave clothes. Are you catching what I'm saying? And it's like Jesus saying, listen, your unbelief caused you to act and now is holding him back. My God, what areas of our lives by our own actions of unbelief have we held other people back? And God's saying, I want you to go and begin to unwrap, because I didn't tell you to wrap them up in clothes of death, because I'm not a God of death, I'm the God of resurrection. They wrapped him up in the clothes of death because, ooh, I wish I could preach with that or, I can't do that. I wish I was T.D. Jakes right now. I'd be saying, get ready, get ready, get ready. It's not going to work. I bet Jesus can preach like that because I hear it in my spirit. I just can't do it. But they wrapped him up in clothes of death because that was their expectation of the moment. They wrapped, then they not only put him in, but they sealed him with the stone, a tomb, in the tomb, because that was their expectation of the moment. Without Jesus. And what did Jesus have them do? Two things. One, remove the stone. You put it there. I didn't put it there. Lazarus didn't put it there. You thought you were helping, you were hurting. God, forgive us for every person we held back because we thought we were helping and we were only hurting. Woo, my God. I find myself back to my last point. That's just amazing. God said, I want you to undo that stuff in the natural that was done by fear and not faith, that was done by finality and not God. That we have enclosed people, we have enclosed dreams, we've enclosed relations, we have taken and said, God, you can't do anything here. So I'm going to close it up and I'm gonna wrap it up and I'm gonna assume it's no longer to change. And God said, you want to see my change? I'll do it before, but I want you to know that you're the one that put it on him. So you put him, you remove it. Get the stone out of here, get the clothes off him that was holding him back. They represent death. They do not represent me. God, forgive us every time we have done that to people we love, not knowing, because we were working out of fear and not faith. But God didn't call you to live your life in fear for you or those around you. Are you listening to me? Proverbs 11, verse 25. The generous will prosper, and those who refresh others will themselves be refreshed. The Bible tells us that God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. What are we doing? Reconnecting people back to Jesus. I speak that anointing on your life right now, that as you walk out of this place, people you know, people you don't know, but you'll feel a compelling on your spirit. What are you doing? You're going to unravel the death that's been put on people. You're going to open the doors of death that's been closed people in. You're going to walk and see and be able to speak a word in due season and speak it boldly, that you'll find yourself God using you, because not everybody will open the door. Not everybody will remove the grave clothes. So you got to be open for the Holy Spirit to bring you in the context of humanity and with divinity and anointing, and say, wait a minute, what's holding you back is not God. It's the expectation from man. It's the bondage from man. It's the legalism from man. And it's imprisoned you from being who God wants you to be. It's imprisoned you from being who God wants you to be. God has called us to be the ministry of reconciliation. Jesus said, I didn't put those on him. You thought you were doing right. You thought you were doing good. And there's some of us, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Good people. Now, there is evil people in the world. I get that too. But sometimes even good people will put things on us and that have been a hindrance into our life. And God said, I'm looking for someone who will speak that word and free you. In the name of Jesus, if that should just lift your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, I bind the enemy, tactic, strategy, mindset, label, any hindrance of the enemy against their life. We free them from the things of death. I speak life into their life. In the name of Jesus, I call it so. If you agree with that, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and do not have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, I'm not asking if you know about God. I'm not asking you to join a church or denomination. I'm asking this one question only you can answer. Is Jesus Christ real to you today in a way that you know, in the way you process, the way you experience, that you know that Jesus is real and that he is your Lord and Savior? I'm talking to three groups of people right now. Number one, those who have never heard the gospel, that God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins and was resurrected on the third day. And that you can have your sins forgiven. You can go to heaven and not hell. You can know him personally. Salvation is one of the greatest miracles. Number two, those who used to know the Lord, but for whatever reason, you've allowed stuff to come between you and God and you know your heart's not right. This is the day of salvation. And number three, those who were saved and you're just doubting it. You're not too sure, but you want to know for sure. You want that confidence that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I'm going to heaven and I know him in a real and personal way. Revelation 3, Jesus said, I stand at the door and I knock. If you hear my voice and open up, I'll come in. Romans 10 says, those who call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if that's you, if any of those three are you, I want you to repeat this prayer from your heart. That means mean it, what you're saying. Just don't parrot it. Just don't repeat it. Say it. Let it come from your heart. Watch what only God can do. Say, Heavenly Father, I repent of my sins. I turn to you today. I believe in my heart and I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, that he came to this earth in the flesh, died on a cross for my sins, was buried for me, and on the third day rose again for me. Because I believe that, I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Wash me in your blood. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a fresh start. See, Jesus, I don't want a religion. I want a real relationship with you. So I ask you right now for you to make yourself real to me today in a way that I know for myself that you're real and you're my Lord and Savior. I receive you today. I receive salvation today. I receive forgiveness. Thank you for being my Savior and my Lord. Amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I want to speak a blessing over you and encourage you. Just so I know who I was praying with, the count of three. If you prayed that prayer, I'm not here to embarrass you. I'm here to help you. If you prayed that prayer, I just want to know who I was praying with, and then I want to speak a blessing over your life. At the count of three, I want you to just lift your hands. And just say, Pastor, that was me you prayed with. One, two, three. Pastor, that was me who I prayed with. Keep your hand up. You were thinking, one, two, three, four. God bless you. Five, six, seven, eight. God bless you. Nine. Thank you. Thank you, sweet lady. Anybody else? Keep your hand up. I want to speak a blessing over your life. We're going to, 10, thank you. You know, I know it's going to be a little work for keeping their hand up, but let me just encourage you. This is why it's so important to invite family and friends to church. We partner together to see people's lives change eternally. Amen? Amen? Amen. So first of all, congratulations. Congratulations. Welcome to the family of God. We're not here to control you, manipulate you. We're here for you. Following the service, Freedom, go ahead and stand up. Here's one of our care pastors, also Debbie, who's in the information center across the hall. After service, if you want us in your corner, if you want to let us know, give us your information. That's up to you. I don't pressure people. We do the hangout and hideout around here. But there's a point of getting connected and getting involved. Just see him following the service, okay? Or go to Miss Debbie, who's across the hallway. And we'll be in your corner. We'll call you. We'll pray with you. We'll answer any questions. But that's your decision. Amen? So if you prayed that prayer, lift your hand again. Let me speak a blessing over your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, according to your word, I thank you for their salvation right now. Father God, I thank you. We seal them with the precious blood of Jesus. And I ask you that you would strengthen them with might by your spirit in the inner man. Give them a courage and a boldness to stand for you all the days of their life, to say no to sin, to stand up for you, and to live the life you called them to live. And we give you praise. And everyone shouted,
amen.
Amen. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise.